Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Reciprocity, the missing thread between unhealthy communities and challenged residents. There's a missing thread between broken communities and the antisocial behaviors from some young and too often old residents of socially economically disadvantaged neighborhoods. Hence our topic tonight, reciprocity. I believe in our effort to find answers and to offer paths for solutions. It is notable and needed to consider how this plays or factors in. The number is 657-383-0944. Feel free to call us. This is an open microphone discussion, so your questions, your comments, suggestions are very much welcome. We only ask that you make it relevant to our topic of discussion and that we add and contribute to our growth and development. We'll have our esteemed panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller, who is the author of Still High, to join in with us here as well. And just a little bit after we finish our monologue, I would like to say, however, to those that are listening for the first time, those who have communed via Facebook, welcome to the show and to our group on Facebook, and let you know that the questions that we list, you may answer them. This broadcast is podcast program is designed to enable Building Families and Communities Missions Incorporated to fulfill its goal to reach out to several cities across America and have some of the same things in common. And if you've been following us or if you archive our shows, you know that a lot of our focus has been on helping our young people get it right and, in effect, provide them a second, sometimes third and fourth chance at life. At the end of the day, it is incumbent upon those of us who've been fortunate enough to learn how to overcome obstacles, to dodge some pit holes, and to overcome tragedy and trouble, to share that with others and to help them to do likewise. Having said that, I'm going to now go to my monologue, and then we'll come in and hear from our esteemed panelists and any of you that want to call. Again, the number to call, tonight live, and our broadcast is 657-383-0944. We welcome you to the studio. Reciprocity, the missing thread between unhealthy communities and challenged residents. Luke, the third chapter and 11th verse states, "He answereth and said unto them, He that has two coats, let him impart to him that have none. And he that have meat, let him do likewise." Social psychology. Reciprocity is a social rule that says people should repay in kind what other persons have provided for them. This is people give back and reciprocate. That's what reciprocity comes from, reciprocation, giving back. And the kind of treatment that they've received from other people. By virtue of the rule of reciprocity, people are obligated to pay favors, gifts, invitations, etc. in the future. If someone receives a gift for their birthday, for instance, the expectation is that you will remember that person that gave you the gift, their birthday, and in kind, extend the gesture to them. This sense of future obligation associated with reciprocity makes it possible to build continuing relationships and exchanges with other people. Reciprocal actions of this nature are important to social psychology as a study, as they can help explain the basis of what we call social norms. What do we expect from one another when we interact with each other? A person who violates the reciprocity norm or order by accepting without attempting, at least, to return good acts that come from other people is disliked in the social group. Individuals who benefit from the group's resources, that could be your neighbors or your neighborhood, your community, a particular club or something else, some of the church even. If you tend to benefit from those things without contributing at least your skills or helping or supporting someone else, doesn't necessarily have to be monetarily, they call you a freeloader. That's what we call you, a freeloader. Both of those individuals and social groups often punish freeloaders, even when this punishment results in considerable cost for the group. In other words, you put somebody out of your bound of friends, you know, because of their behavior, and go back and say, you discriminated against me. Well, there are all sorts of claims that can be made there. However, it is unsurprising that individuals will go to great lengths to avoid being seen as a moocher, a freeloader, or an ingrate type of person. Reciprocal actions differ from what we call altruistic actions, and here's how. The reciprocal action only follows from others who initiate actions or contribution, while altruism comes straight from the heart. It is the unconditional act of giving, the savior of the universe. Didn't ask you for nothing. Gave it from his heart. Didn't expect anything back in return when he did it. One songwriter said he didn't have to do it, but he did, and I'm so glad he did. Some distinguish between ideal altruism, or giving without expecting anything in reward, and reciprocal altruism as giving limitedly, expecting at least some pay. Now, the difficulty here is when people go to help those who are in distress and they have ulterior or not so good motives, what they tend to do is to put stipulations on how far they're going to go. And I hate to say it, even in churches, Unless you are a member here, you done gave some tithes and offerings, and you done proved to us that you're worthy of our time, our support, our resources. Hey, we don't want to be bothered with you. But it begs the question, in the most distressed or challenged communities, can we afford to put a limit or a stipulation on how far we go? When we know we got babies that are dying every day, when we know we have families that are suffering, we know we have social ills and conditions that are causing people to walk around feeling as though they're in prison in their neighborhood. Can we do that? I want to talk to you tonight about reciprocity, which is, I'm calling that missing thread between unhealthy communities and challenged residents that live there. Perhaps this is why there's so little trust, respect, and admiration for one another in our neighborhoods. Let me welcome Pastor Ricky Waller, our esteemed panelist, and the author of Steel High, a very powerful book that you can find right here on www.dfcinstitute.com. If you simply go to that web page and you click on the Contact Us tab, hover over it, you'll see a backstory and you'll find that book there. I can't emphasize enough the usefulness of such an easy read that can have great impact on others. Pastor Wall, how you doing this evening, sir?
I'm good. How you doing, Pastor?
All right. Oh, pretty good, man. Pretty good. We're getting ready to get on the road here, man. I need to get with you, too, tomorrow.
Yeah, okay.
Tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
But, yeah. Yeah, we're maintaining, sir. We're holding the road. We probably won't have a live broadcast Thursday because we'll be traveling. But tonight we're grateful to be able to be back here and share dialogue with our listening audience.
Yeah, I understand.
So what do you think about this concept of reciprocity or the lack thereof?
And you had a great point. And basically, I think you sum it all up. To me, you were talking about unhealthy communities and neighborhoods. And when you look at that, and for my own desire to say it's got to be a better way and do all I can do to make a difference, it still remains that there are times when you look around in our communities, you can see the less fortunate, you know, and who could be, you know, who could that be? Who could that be that's living as if they're not human? You know, once you recognize, and I'm doing that because I'm recalling about the past. When you're being controlled by something or someone, then it's only that you can do.
Right.
And if you don't know that the Word of God says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, but the furtherance of this passage of Scripture says, but I've come that you may have life.
That
and have it
more
abundantly.
Right.
So
between
the thief coming to steal, kill, and to destroy,
that's right.
That sounds me to control you, but when you have the abundant life, the peace, the joy, the freedom, togetherness, and things like that, the harmony in community, you know, it makes a grand of a difference, man. You know, you see the love increase. You see destruction being excluded from the community. Could you imagine that going on? And that's where I'm at when you made known in your mouth. In my own opinion, I don't say that because I think I'm right. I just want to talk truth, if you will. You know, because the Word of God said the truth shall make you free.
That's right.
My experience, I was that person who was living as if I was being controlled. And you know how when you control something, man, it has to do and it's supposed to do what you ask it to do or tell it to do or demand or command it to do, you know. And just to be free, man, like choose you this day who you will serve. And not everybody knows that.
Sure.
This is the day that the Lord has made and, you know, things like that. You know, I haven't always known that.
Okay.
So there is a difference, man. There is a difference.
Sure.
So in my community, I see destruction increasing.
Okay.
I see the need, and I appreciate what you're doing. You're reaching out. You know, you're talking about being concerned, and I think that's very important. So, yeah, you're right
on.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, let me welcome caller 615-1080 to our discussion. In case you're just joining us, this is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. We're talking about reciprocity, the missing thread between unhealthy communities and challenged residents. That's what we're talking about tonight. And I just, you know, I was listening to what you were saying, Pastor Waller. Interesting to me when you see the dog-eat-dog mentality in some of the poorest areas, you would think that like it was before 1960 and 70, you know, if people were poor and they couldn't pay their rent, everybody in the community would get together and have a basement party or a sack lunch dinner, and everybody was expected to come by there and buy some food. And the money went to the person who had to pay their rent. You understand what I'm saying? And
it's
my understanding that we had that very same thing right here in Nashville, Tennessee, and over in Preston Taylor and Joe Johnson Housing Project and Settle Court. That was the mindset that they had at that time. That's gone.
Oh, yeah.
That's gone. The idea of giving. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was saying, where did it go?
That's what this is what we want to understand. This is what we want to understand. I believe if we get the answer to that, we can figure out where to get it and bring it back. What say you, 1080?
Yeah. Okay.
Hello.
I'm just listening. I still don't get the topic for today. The prophecy.
Okay.
Biblical.
No. So today the concept of reciprocity, which means to give back. Yeah, reciprocity, which means to give back.
Okay.
And we're talking about that in relationship to the poorest neighborhoods, where rather than giving back being the norm for everybody, it seems as if it's a dog-eat-dog. You got yours, I got mine, and don't let me think you're going to get there before me. I have to knock you out. You follow what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
It's this destructive mentality that seems to plague certain communities and neighborhoods where the same people from the same fabric and experience, man, are facing the same hardship, but yet we don't want to give to one another. Help me understand that like I'm 3 years old. Somebody.
Oh, man, yeah. That's deep.
Isn't it?
I don't know if we can. I think they got us by our mind so much we don't even question it. And I think that's a wrong concept of accepting reality. If you accept reality for what you see as of today, it's never going to change because you've already considered it as your truth in your heart. So you can't argue something
right.
that you already accept. And that's the wrong mentality.
Right.
Accept.
Right.
So without the mindset changing on the reality, it's not going to change. Cause we almost accept it. Well, it's to the point where we wake up today and say we expect life to be hard. We expect it.
Exactly.
So anything outside of it wouldn't be the norm. So we expect hard. We're supposed to, you know, we expect it for it to be hard, and we die and we go to heaven. That's our mindset. We built like that as of today.
You know, it's
that's wrong.
Say that. It is wrong, and it's wrong, and it's dysfunctional. It's destructive to us, really, when you think about it. You know, I was thinking about what you were saying, caller, and you know, I've heard a lot of people rationalize. They know their children are in trouble, right, and they're engaging in illegal things, things that are risky or dangerous, but they say, well, you know, all children do that. All of them do that, and that's just what they're going to do. That's not a healthy way to start out. Where is the expectation that you be productive, that you think before you act, and that you avoid things that are counterproductive and risky-like? You understand what I'm saying? Now, maybe I'm wrong.
No, that's I feel the same way. But if we could change that mindset of accepting so much, I mean, you feel it in your heart that it's wrong, but we won't even question it or change it. We just, if nobody else around us complaining about it, we're not going to complain either. We just used to hear, well, you know, life is hard and everybody got to do this and everybody has to do that. We pass that same mindset down to kids so they have no hope.
There you go.
You see, mama and daddy cooperate by the system. Of course, son and daughter going to follow. Dad and mama still do the same. They cooperate.
Absolutely.
If your mom and your dad are telling you that's the law.
Right. That's right. That's right, man.
The priest don't have a shot.
Question what,
your mom and dad,
right.
They cooperate. Blind leading the blind.
You know what, Carla?
Well, I
told,
believe it's people
left.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, no, and
I
believe
that
people out there that...
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Let me let you finish, and then I'll say something after that. You said there are people out there.
I believe it's people still. I believe it's people. I hear these people not talking about it, and the ones and they continue to you know they exist, but then they die. So it's knowledge being taken to the grave. Was somebody gonna step up to the plate and make it mainstream?
Mm-hmm.
But it just hasn't been done yet. It's a lot of people that got the knowledge, just taking it, you know, taking it for whatever personal gain they can use for, just taking it to grave with them. I think it's a new generation of people coming up out here. We just got to talk about it more often like we're doing like tonight. And things got to come about when everybody's exposed and opening. Once everything around you know that you can't play no more tricks on people, if we all know collectively. We all know that it's no longer a game to play. But if it's private, people know things privately and it's not making the opening and making it aware to everybody, then it's going to continue to be like
that. There you go. And it seems, Carla, that the most educated are the ones that go out of their way to keep this information hid from those who need that knowledge. That's if you ask me, that's the greatest sin right there. If it's any sin, that's the greatest sin. It's when you keep information you know that will help somebody away from them, you keep them blind to that. That will, you know, you got to question your motives and where are you? You know what I mean? Especially when you know and you're in a position of influence.
That makes a lot of sense, Pastor. And I wonder often why is it like that? And that's, again, you know, that passage of scripture that we was talking about, and I said that the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, I may have life and have it more abundantly. Now, where did all of that come from, someone withholding information? You know, the Bible said, no good things would I withhold from them who walketh upright. You know, If people are seeking and you have this information and you withhold it from them, then the penalty basically is on you. Whether you know it or not, it's not freely been given unto you, freely you should be able to extend it to others. And that's basically not happening because I believe, as a result of what I've learned by attending church, you know, for a little while, as I once upon a time used to do,
mm-hmm.
I looked off the Bible and I what you would call, I peeped it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it. I think you would fix it. It was in there. And when I come back and open the book again, and I would do the same thing, and it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to say, wonder how many people have attended church for a lot of years that haven't seen this in the book,
right,
where it said plainly, go out into the world
mm-hmm.
and preach the gospel.
Right.
And the first thing some would say, well, it's not the church's responsibility. Where if the church mm-hmm. have all the power inside of the church, how can it not be the church's responsibility to take it to the streets or to take it wherever it needs to be at, man?
Sure.
And
sure.
That, to me, is the way things will actually change for the good and give
right.
us reason to understand that we're not who some people think we are, you see?
Mm.
And if we're living as Brother Charles said, you know, how the norm is, we're supposed to have it tough and hard, and that's just the way it's supposed to be, quote, for us. You know?
The Lord
understands. Yeah. He know our heart, and then you say, go on to heaven after you die. What's wrong, but it's being presented that wrong is right and right is wrong.
That's it.
You know?
That's it.
It's a time to fight. It's a time to do everything. It's also a part of that was a time to fight. And people always skip over that part. They don't want to fight. They don't want to lose their life. It's going to put some sacrifice out here in this time.
That's right. Hey, Charles.
We have to against normal people. Uh-huh.
Right. Now, I was going to say, Charles, you're right in that same passage of scriptures. It said it's a time to be born and a time to die. Now, if a man is not willing to die for something, then what reason does he have to live?
There you go. And that's it. That's why I don't know how to answer that last week on the show about violence. I'm not promoting violence. I know what I'm up against. We're against something that's not almost not human like out here that we're going up against. Now, if you're fighting with protesting and signs and laying down in the street and you think that's going to get us somewhere, then you got the wrong picture.
They're not scared
of that. You need a military out here. That's what we lose. That's what we lacking at. We don't have no. We got to play on their level. That's that level. They're not worried about your protesting and laying down in the street and Black Lives Matter. That's nothing.
No.
Get some real threat. If you had a military, had your own private training, now you're talking. Not saying you have to use the gun, but just to know it's there.
Well, watch this. If you get in, here's the real weapon, though, Charles, and that is when you get in their pocket. See, when you get in their pocket, that's the first diplomatic weapon right there, and they listen to you then.
That's what I tell
people. Look, man, they can try to deprive you of the knowledge how to get rich, how to become wealthy and self sufficient, but if you have the determination to go get it and you play by the rules in the game, they can't stop you from having it, you know. And sometimes you may have to go outside to get it and then come back in. But what they do recognize is the benefit of wealth and resource and those who are in control of it.
Yeah,
and
they have,
you know.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead. What are you going to say?
I say they got us good when they claimed the land or made us sell our land to them. That was the smartest move they made, man. They caught us in a desperate situation. We gave it away, but we could never get it back.
Right.
Once we did that, when they did that, that was a good one, man. I mean, how do you get that back?
You know, General Sherman was a Northern general who fought in the Civil War. And he did, in fact, Pastor, push for the Union to give freed slaves 40 acres of land to the mule. Well, guess what those former slaves who often were illiterate, couldn't read, couldn't write, couldn't count, guess what they did? They were tricked by the white Southerners into signing contracts that they couldn't even read, write, or understand. And then legally they were able to take their land away from them again. That's how a lot of them lost the 40 acres that they had in southern states.
Oh, man.
So what you're saying, they didn't set it, they signed it.
Huh?
You said they didn't set it, they signed it over to them.
They trusted somebody's word that we got an agreement.
Right.
Now, you signed this dotted line. By law, that made a legally binding what? Contract.
Okay.
They don't know nothing about no contract. Don't know about nothing about doing no business. That's what we got to teach our people, Charles. Got to teach our people how to the rules of the game and the players, just like Monopoly. If you don't know how to play the game, you're going to be on the board going to jail all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Wow.
Yeah. Seriously, I feel like that being said, and they know what they did. Why come it can't be open for discussion publicly on television to get some of these things back? I mean,
that
they know
great,
the dirty
now,
thing.
I'm gonna tell
why
you
why can't be discussed.
Right. When Charles, you know what we do with our money, and I'm guilty of it. every time you go to McDonald's or to buy some coffee somewhere or to spend money, you ask yourself, what else could I have done with that? And I'm not suggesting that everybody have to do this. I'm simply saying, just making a point. And that is, when we make the sacrifices to use our resources collectively as a whole to own our own radio station, to own our own television station, guess what we can talk about on those radio stations? We can talk about what we need to empower our people.
There you go.
But we too busy watching somebody else's show, and they coming up with the thought they want you to follow.
Because they never gave us the game. We just said, if they told us how to spend our money, we will have a circle of wealth. But right now, we give our money to the Caucasians, the Latinos, but we have nothing. They don't spend their money back with them.
Right.
So we just constantly pushing money out, but nothing's coming in. That's why we're
in poverty. You hear people talk about the black community. Well, you don't own a community unless you have a system of commerce or economic system where you have dollars regularly. Before it leave your community, it ought to circulate itself at least 10 to 20 times or better before it leave your community. You know, if a dollar is sent there, it ought to recycle itself there a number of times before it go out anywhere else.
There you go.
But when your money is going to somebody else's community, you're not building your own. You're only supporting and helping theirs to thrive. So,
right.
I mean, well, so let me get this. Let me do this little commercial break in and to do our spot here, and then when we come back. I want to ask Pastor Waller something about the church. He was talking about the church. A certain thought I keep hearing from church folk. Now I'm a pastor. Now don't get me wrong. Let's not get it twisted. But I want. There's some, Charles, I think we need to really need to deal with, let me get this little spot in, and we'll come right back.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time I's been a climbing on and reaching ladders and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So, boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now, for I still going, honey. I still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dodger. We're talking tonight on the topic reciprocity, the missing thread between unhealthy communities and challenged residents. We want to try to build a bridge where we can turn some things around. The number is 657-383-0944. Give us a call right now. Give us a shout out. Talk to us. Let us know what your questions or comments may be. We'll be happy to hear from you. We have with us Pastor Ricky Waller, our regular panelist, and we're talking to Brother Charles again tonight, and we're again speaking from that topic about reciprocity, giving back and not giving up. That's what Donny Hathaway was talking about, not giving up but giving back. I understand how easy it is for you to look and you see the plight of people, and brothers and sisters, sometimes you just want to drop your head and you want to throw your hands up and say, forget it, you know. But that's not the answer. That is not the answer. It may seem like a daunting task, but it's one that with God all things are possible. Have I got a witness there, Pastor?
You definitely got a witness right there, brother.
Okay. So let me shoot this question at you. Pastor Waller, let me shoot this question at you now. It's some just this past time I heard somebody say it again, you know. But I hear it often, and it's interesting to me when I hear it. We all ain't none of us perfect. We gonna make mistakes, right? We all, because we're not perfect. Well, here's my question, Pastor Waller. If you take an imperfect man and you give him rule, discipline, and guidance, he follows that at the end of his path. Should you expect them still to be imperfect?
No, sir.
Help me with that.
The reason why I say that, Pastor Doctor, because you know when someone say in the church and there may be someone decided to change their life, and they come in excited, you know, got a lot of things on their heart, on their mind, a lot of bad habits, and they walk into a place in their life, they have the answer. And so they're being motivated by what they hear them say inside. And all of a sudden, they go short. That person had a chance to experience being free from, let's just say, a sickness for 3 days, three long days, been smoking for 26 years. And all of a sudden, whole season, been free. And then to be strengthened even more and hear somebody say, well, ain't nobody perfect. But see, what that person say, well, I smoke a cigarette anyway, and it's been real, I got three whole days. But I just heard somebody say that ain't nobody perfect. So I decided to go smoke, and then I'll start all over again. Well, see, what that person just did, that person just person down, caused that person to stumble simply because he said something that was not accurate. Because Jude says, now unto him who's able to keep you from falling. You see, that person just pushed that person down. That person was excited for those 3 days. And I don't back that nobody's perfect type thing. Now, if people want to say that and it worked for them, I let them go head on. But if I had believe that in my heart and in my mind, I would have been back on Drew. And I'm to say, didn't know God. I didn't know the word of God. But when you're in the church, man, you know, you better be mindful of what you say to people, because you could trip somebody up and cause them to stumble and fall by what you say out of your mouth. Because the word of God said life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Thank you,
you know?
for saying that.
Yeah, I want to say, so to remind the people tuned in that Hebrews chapter 11, I love that scripture because it says, faith is the substance of things, the evidence of things seen. Now, I wasn't able to do those years ago, but I didn't know, I didn't have the instructions, I didn't have no good guidance or anything. But once I got good guidance, with the Almighty and all wise God, and then he told me I was delivered from drugs, I never went back, man. I've been delivered for 25 years. I didn't slip, I didn't trip, and neither did I fall. So no one can tell me that that's a perfect 25 years, because he only gives me 24 hours a day, a moment at a time. And so if I go 24 hours a day and I don't use no drugs, that's a perfect day to me.
Well, watch this. You know, watch this, Pastor. Watch this. Watch this. When you learn that you have better things to do with your time than to be using drugs and to be getting high and to staying high.
Yeah.
You understand? When you have a desire and reach for something other than that, you have a cause for change in your behavior. Some people,
yes,
like you're saying, when you suggest to them that you can't do no better and you're supposed to be in this slump, that's what they call self-efficacy become. That's what they aspire to be. It's nothing and go nowhere. But look what the text said in Luke 22. Look what Luke 22:32 says. Jesus talking said, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." And watch this,
sir.
"And when thou art converted," "thou art converted, strengthen your brother."
Now, what does that mean?
In other words, Pastor Waller, once you've learned the trick to getting off of drugs and to staying clean for 20 plus years, you put it in a book and you share that information with other people and you tell them how they can do likewise.
Yeah.
Now,
yes,
I've been fortunate to survive the housing projects of Chicago. And it was pretty rough, you understand what
All
I'm
right.
saying, back in the 70s and 80s. And because God blessed me to survive that, I was in a position to go and gain more knowledge, and grateful to have an education. And I was able to put in my workbook about how to raise young males to keep them from getting caught in that snare or that mentality that you got to be wrong, crooked, or do something illegal just to get by. I put it in the form of a book.
Yeah, that's all right. Yes, sir.
You follow what
Very
I'm saying? So,
yes, sir. Very interesting.
So, the thing that I'm saying, brethren, is this. It's not that we don't have experience. It's not that we don't have the knowledge. It seems as if we don't have the reciprocity. We don't have the willingness to give back that which we've been blessed to have.
Man, that's a danger. That's a danger. And I want to elaborate on what you just said about, you know, in the book of Luke. I love that as well. You know, you say after, not before, but after you have been free, you say, then be concerned and go back and strengthen your brother. Is that right?
There you go. That's what the text
says. Because the text said that, and you discovered that it was interesting to you, and that's what you decided to do, and you put it in the form of a book as well. And I think that is what, you know, it's beneficial for people, man, who really have a concern, is to go and let other people know that it's all right to be free. You know, there's definitely nothing wrong. There's a whole lot of right with it, and it's good for you. I tell you one thing that I'm really grateful for as well is that there was a man that came out into the streets, man. He left out of the church building, and he came out in. It sounded like, you know, you was hitting it right on the nail, man. I mean, right there where it needed to be. You say, after you have gained the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding, go and help somebody else with it. And, man, I tell you, brother, that was a great reminder for me. And so that's the reason why I go back out, man, is because of that man, you know, the pastor of the church that I attended. You know, he came out in the streets, man, and said something to me. So I think it's only fair for me to go and do likewise.
Absolutely. And I'm suggesting to you that it is possible to go to James Casey Holmes, University Court, Cheatham Housing, and all the other hot spots, right, where people, for whatever reason, are destroying one another. It is possible to come in the right spirit and to say to them, thanks be to God, I learned a few things, and I want to give this. It don't cost you nothing. But I want to share with you some information that can change your life for the better. Now, what's wrong with that?
Man, there's a lot of right with it, I bet you that. Sounds good to me.
And you know, what's wrong with that?
But that sounds good,
See, I could have had a barbershop. I try as much as I can in 15, 20 minutes I got you in my chair. It's more than a haircut. I'm talking about something.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, it is.
positioned to do it. I feel like I don't have a pulpit ministry, but I got a little ministry in my barber chair for 15 minutes.
There you go, big brother.
Yeah, brother. Yeah. And he's doing his thing, too, bro. Yes, sir.
You know what, Charles? If that's what God gave you, use that, big brother. Use that.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He do it well, too, man. I must admit. I have to say.
Yeah,
it's a good deed, man.
Okay.
I really do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's been concerned of the person sitting in the chair to give him a haircut. He also shared the knowledge with him, man. I think that's outstanding.
Right. Well, I think I believe
it's
reasonable for us to conclude that there are more than one way that you can give, you know. Sometimes people think it's always got to be material or monetarily. But if it's nothing but being a pillow for somebody, that goes a long way. And I think I heard Charles say the other day that what young men need, no, that was Greg. He said young men need to see an example of responsible manhood. They need to see that. They need to know that it's possible for me to grow up over a period of years and to be right there. You know? But if I'm highly educated, I done made a few pennies, and I move out the hood, and I do all my business somewhere else, I don't ever come back. How can they see that? You know, Charles, I was somewhat critical of President Obama when he was in office, because I'm from Chicago, and he got his start in Chicago. And I know of the great work he did there, right? And I realized it wasn't just him, but it was politics that was at play. But I'm saying, Barack, you know where the hot spots is, but you know where they get down at. You can get in your helicopter right now as president and go right there and be on the scene and make a difference. You know that. Come on, man. Mm-hmm. But politics is at play. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that now that he is at the White House, he go back and put his work in. Because you know what the problem is. You know who they are. You got down with some of these cats before.
He know him by name.
Yeah, he know him by name.
Go ahead, brother.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
that's
going to bring no
hurt. I'm sorry, go ahead. What you say?
Yeah, I don't think that'll bring no hurt or harm to people if he went and reminded them that he's concerned, you know. I think it'll be uplifting.
Yeah.
You understand?
Well, somebody don't
like
want to make it. Somebody scared, it may seem like he's trying to help black people too much. Now, what that means too much?
What is that? Okay. What is that?
That
I guess
too much.
That's that part of what you're about.
You don't want to know, you don't get an impression that you like them too. What?
Trying to make something.
You've been struggling for. Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead,
man.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And trying to make something bad good, man. That's not good.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying. But I understand that part of the problem is when you're obedient to that political platform that says you're supposed to blow one way and turn your head from the other. I get that. That's part of the problem with being bound or a slave to either party. That's why I'm not a part of either one of the parties. You know, I'm for the truth, because the truth will make you free.
That's good.
You understand what I'm saying? I realized both of them got problems. One robbed the bank, and the other one drove the getaway car. That's just me now. That's what I think.
Look,
but at the end of the day, I want to know, where's that money that's supposed to come to my people, and why is it? But I realized, though, to answer that question, I have to acknowledge the fact that me and other black folk have voted some black people in office, and they haven't handled their business too well. I mean, that's just the truth, man. When you go and talk to somebody, they start talking out the side of their neck on
it. Yeah, man. There I go again, wondering why is it like that? and then you just said it. You know, you just said it. So when do we make and take a stand would be the question. And I believe, as Brother Charles said, you know, once, you know, you start to put effort in, as he said about him, having someone to sit in the chair while he's cutting the hair. You know, the word says where there's two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing, they would be in the midst of them. So, you know, sometimes it's just starting point that causes things to change. It's not so much of, you know, you see it already, you know, once you put the starting point down and you lay the foundation down and you thinking that it's finished. But no, you know, the power is when you get started, at least you know one thing. Just like being in a race. If there's a race going on and you never get in the race, nothing gets accomplished.
Right
now, you know, something is being accomplished, man, and I appreciate the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding that I gather from what we're doing right now. And I just trust that someone else that tuned in may feel the same way, that this is needed. You know, it's very needed.
Pastor,
go ahead.
Charles just inspired me with a revelation, man, an idea. I don't know if you ever thought about this. But, you know, I got this nonprofit, and I was just wondering, Charles, what if I raise money to pay you to cut 25 young cats' heads, and while they're in there, we have an hour where some old cats are reading to them and just talking to them, showing them some love. What do you think about that, Charles?
Great idea.
Talk to me, Chuck.
I'm with it, man. You got the vision. I'm with it. I'm definitely supporting it.
I'm simply saying,
in one sitting for an hour.
Right.
That's on the person. That's a lot. Hey, I like that idea. I get a lot said in an hour. Give me 10 minutes. I say a lot.
Charles, what kind of seed do you think you can plant with those young brothers? I'm talking about 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old cats who need their hair cut. You understand what I'm saying? What kind of seed can we plant there, man?
If we can do it consistently, more than one time, I think we can plant many seeds in that. That one time, I don't think it's enough. That's too much to grab for one sitting. But if we do it consistently and make it a habit and doing it routinely, it will come. It will come school. I believe it can happen. It'll be very beneficial.
Now, Pastor, what? Put that in your pipe and smoke. What about it, Pastor Waller? Look like I lost him. He'll call me right back then. But you know, Charles, I'm saying it jokingly, but it's small things like that from dialoguing with one another we can come up with, and it, you know, that don't have to be conventional. You know what I'm saying? It ain't got to be nothing that got to be approved by some whole lot of people. If it works, man, and you can see where you can make a difference, why not put the work in? You know?
And
so I think what it really calls for is a willingness to go outside of the box. Pastor Waller, you back?
That's it.
Yes, I'm back, man. That's very, very inspiring. That what you just was talking about before I was disconnected. This is ways and means to make a difference. You know, how effective you when you're striving in a road and on a road of righteousness. Word of God have taught me, and I'm sure it's doing the same thing for you, brothers. Matthew 6 and verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added. Yes, and so, you know, this is the part that is added. These things we're talking about now is added because trusting him and doing some of these things would cause his righteousness to flourish, man, on the lives of other people. And that's how it starts to make a difference. And that's the way, because, again, if we don't never get into the race, you'll never be able to even run, not to mention to win. And I was told that those who in a race all run, only one win applies. So that you may obtain it. And see, it doesn't matter what your size, the physical realm, once you get into that spiritual race and be instructed by the instructor, you automatically win as long as you follow the instructions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
Some
than others, but that's just the way the race goes, man. And it's nothing about no how fast you get there, how slow I get there, or anything like that. It has to do with you getting in the race and running this race with patience and looking unto the main line. That's the author and the finisher, who happens to be the Lord Jesus, right? And when he is the beginning and the end of the race, you're going to win.
Yes,
you're
sir.
Going to win.
Yes, sir.
So
yes,
I can
sir.
See I
yes,
can, things we're talking about right now, you know, I can see a victory in it. And that's
okay.
not small, man. You know, that's major talk.
No.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh.
I mean,
we stuck on 28. That's what we're living right now. We still stuck right there. We haven't got fast. We're stuck in Deuteronomy.
What?
We fast.
Huh?
I believe that's preach, y'all.
Yeah.
So half of the stuff we're going through ain't just cuz. Some stuff we it's a little bit. It's some of it's punishment, but
yeah.
I mean, has it came to an end yet, or do we just still think we've been punished? I believe even that it came to an end, we just haven't realized it yet. Just like they said, the recession
right.
hit. You never know when it's over until you get out your brain that you're in a recession. Once you stop thinking in recession form. Then change will happen. So I believe some things are about to change.
I'm motivated. I'm highly motivated. Yes, sir. Charles, you know there's a celebration in the South, and it first started in Texas, Galveston, Texas, called Juneteenth. Have you heard of it? Well, it was a time after 1865. After the Civil War was over and the slaves were freed, right? Galveston,
mm-hmm.
the word hadn't got to these slaves in Galveston. Everybody else on many other plantations had thrown down their hoes and left the fields. Well, they were still working because nobody told them that slavery was in.
There you go.
When they got the news, oh, man, they had a big celebration about it. And it was on June the 10th, and it was called Juneteenth.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to look that up. Okay. I believe that's where we're at.
Yes, sir.
When you look around, we got opportunity.
That's it.
We just need to figure it, man, because, hey, I believe we can come out of anything, any situation. We just got to change the mindset of how we see it.
Absolutely.
How we see it.
Absolutely. All the resources and all the opportunities that surround us, if your eyes are blinded to it, you can have
mm-hmm.
everything you need and still be starving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I saw that movie Django Unchained, and I don't really watch a lot of them because I don't like the angle that the producers have on a lot of them. But this particular one I watched just out of curiosity, right? And I observed how at the very end, the Django was in the back of this wagon with all these other brothers, and none of them wanted to get out the cave. They were able to go free. Neither one of them wanted to get out the cave.
Didn't want to go.
What's going on? Huh?
They got comfort zone.
Yeah.
You said they didn't want to get out the cave.
None of them wanted to move. That's it.
Uh-huh.
That's it. That was it. See, they had internalized in their mind, I can't be any more than what somebody has told me who I am.
That is. Uh-huh.
That's true.
Great deceiver.
Right.
Oh, man.
Right. Now, Charles, I just had another idea, man. If
uh-huh.
we're fortunate to get the young men, we got to draw a string and take it home. So we have a regular communication and dialogue, at least, with whoever their guardians are, their parent or guardians are, so we can win their trust that we're not there on some jazz trying to run game or nothing. You understand what I'm saying?
All right.
And that's how you keep it going. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
So you may have to
yeah,
invite mama, auntie, or grandmama, come see what we're doing at the barbershop. And I understand we ain't on no hustle here. We for real about what we're doing. And if you trust us and allow us to continue to be an example and a voice of influence positively for your son, this can go somewhere.
It really can. It really can. And it will. I believe it really will.
I don't know. I'm going to have to come see the shop, and I'm going to have to talk with you. And Pastor Wilder, we're going to have to incorporate some kind of way. I'm pretty busy. Some kind of way we have to incorporate that and try to find some funds for that so we can kick that off, even if we don't do it once a month. You know what I mean? Kind of way. I don't know. I don't have all the answers tonight. But say that again.
Now that I'm thinking about it, it kind of works in any form of whether if you can come on their setting, wherever they come for that, like whether they play basketball on a basketball court, you can still talk while you're playing basketball.
Right.
Listen, they can have fun with it. Learn and have fun.
Man.
Listen to that, Pastor.
That is, willingness to make a difference. That's what it sounds like.
Now, you know what you just done, Charles, don't you? You told Pastor Wilder, bring your tent on out there, bust up your tent, and we're going to have to get those generators so we can set Charles up with a makeshift barber shop. And while they shoot hoops, we'll be cutting heads.
That's right, man.
Yep.
Talking about it. And that's what, that's what you see, man, because that's beneficial. You know, it's going to bring forth the power of being concerned, number one, and then you'll see the exercise, the gift that's within the community, you see.
Right.
And a lot of people, all they need, honestly, is to be woke up. And when they wake up out of the deep sleep you're in, man, you're talking about a powerful change. You know, there's a song that they used to sing in church, when my life first changed. And sometimes up at the mission, I was doing ministry at the mission. And so I used to lead the mission, and then I would come down to the church because I know that this song was going to be rendered. And there were times that people used to come to the door wondering, have I made it down to the church yet, because that song is getting ready to be rendered. And they see me and say, she's getting ready to sing that song. And the song is called Change. I'm so glad he changed me. And you're talking about a change, brother. When a person wake up, man, that's the power of change right there. And in our community, man, we deserve to change than people that don't even know that they are awakened.
Yes,
they don't even know that. They don't know it, man. All they need to be is just awakened, because when you're asleep and in a deep sleep like that, somebody needs to wake you up.
Wow.
And once that happens, man, it's beneficial. Yes, sir.
You can't define what you're looking at. If you don't have a definition for what you're looking at, then you don't know the possibility of looking at. I just learned that. I'm like, I was buying tools at Home Depot. I always go to Home Depot, but now I know what the tools do. Now I can see how beneficial they are. But not knowing the definition or the function of that tool, I didn't see no value in it.
Right.
The more that you can only define what you're looking at, then you can see the opportunity.
Charles, let me ask you this. Suppose you've been conditioned to hate what you see in the mirror, and you hate or are afraid to look at yourself. Isn't that another barrier?
If you hate what you're looking at in the mirror, you got to change your mind. You got to redefine what you're looking at.
There you go.
You got a wrong definition of what you're looking at. According to the definition that you previously owned in your mind, that's true. But if you change that definition, and if you can see that king or queen, then you have a different type of walk about yourself. A different level of confidence to open your ideas.
That brother said, redefine.
But if you cut that off, then you close minded, then you can't see the max potential that you have.
Wow. You know, that's the only problem I have, Pastor. The only problem I have with the 12-step program is they encourage people to say that they were powerless over their addiction, as opposed to saying that with God, even overcoming my addiction is possible. I'm a new creature.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not the same man.
Man, that's amazing you said that. You know, I guess that's why a lot of people, even after being free, a lot of people still claim that they are still incarcerated by the drug because they feel you know, as you said, that power is over their addiction. But, man, you know, when you become aware, then you no longer want to exercise that what you once upon a time used to say. You know, when you say, I have authority now over the addiction, I mean, that means you have the authority now. So you don't want to, you know, to say that you're powerless over something that you've already been powerless over for so long. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to say, I'm free from that now, you know.
Right.
That's amazing that you said
that. What Charles offered is that you do have the authority to define and redefine who you are.
Yeah, that's what he said.
You ain't got to rely on nobody else. What do you say, Charles?
Every day is a brand new day. You can't take yesterday's pain and what happened yesterday into tomorrow. If you can rechange what you did, every day as you wake up, you can correct a lot of different things about you. You get a new star, it's a brand new slate that you wake up every day.
Right.
Brand new day.
Wow.
Why should I meet yesterday with somebody that's told about me? Come on now.
And yesterday.
Challenge yourself out here. You got to challenge yourself. Because if you don't, you're going to stay stuck in what you learned, the last thing you learned in high school. And if you think that's all the education that you needed, you got to learn daily, yearly, forever. Forever learning.
Goodness. That's so true, man. Hey,
yes,
listen, gentlemen, let me get this last stop set in, and then we'll wind up. We got about 22 minutes before we off the air tonight. Let me get this last stop set in. We'll come right back and bring this thing to closure here. The number is 657-383-0944. Give us a call here. We still got about 21 minutes here to go.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
God.
You're listening to the Talk Straight. This is Reuben Dockery, your host, and we're talking from the topic reciprocity, the missing thread between unhealthy communities and challenged residents. Let me translate that. Giving back to where you come from, the missing piece to making your community healthy and your people whole. That's what we're talking about today. I think they call themselves Grandmaster Flash in the Furious Five. That came up with that song, "It's Like a Jungle Sometimes." It made me wonder how I keep from going under. What? Do we have a place in the jungle, brother? Speak into your phone, Pastor.
I tell you, brother, I want to share this with you, man. Right in the West Nashville area, in Nashville where I grew up at, that they call the jungle. And man, you know, it saddens me when I hear that, because in the jungle, it's just, you say we are animals, man. You know, and that's what you call it. You know, where you going at, man? I'm going up into the jungle. And when you said, it kind of got to me when you said that, man. It's just a reminder of how our minds can be captured and put to sleep. When a person said a person's mind is blind, man, the enemy's minds, man, that make us say things like that. Here we're supposed to be in the neighborhood, but we're calling it the jungle.
Calling it the jungle.
Yeah, gave it that nickname, man. And I guess that's great. It is in the jungle. There's a lot of wild things that go on in the jungle, man.
When I hear that, it's like a jungle sometimes. I mean, it got a little truth to it because it is wild. But what I get out of it more than anything is, even in the jungle, animals look after their cubs.
We gotta teach them how to survive.
We don't want to be extinct. We're at a rate to be extinct if we don't give back. So I definitely recommend giving back. Reciprocity.
That's the word for today. Reciprocity.
That's it. Reciprocity. And my 40 acres in the mule. I still have my 40 acres in the mule. I'm sorry, I still need my 40 acres and my mule. I know what to do with today.
Yeah.
So you want your 40 acres, huh?
Yeah.
And it's... Yeah. Yeah, man,
well,
there's nothing wrong with it.
Look, General, I understand that there's a clause in legal terms called no foul, no harm, which says that you didn't try to harm anyone or take anything from them. Well, there was a lot of foul and harm when they stole them 40 acres in the mule by tricking those people. When we wake those folk up and teach them how not to be tricked no more, they can't fall for the 40 acre in the mule game no more.
Okay.
There you go.
Look.
Yeah.
Did they promise 40 acres and a mule?
They
had their fingers crossed.
Oh, man. Okay. Okay.
Hey.
They were. Yeah.
Hey, Pastor. The government gave them a little bit of folks 40 acres and a mule. And they knew how to use it. But they got tripped up is when they allowed them to convince them to sign their name on the paper and enter in the contract you didn't understand.
Oh, man. Man, that's powerful, brother.
That's where the problem came in. You know,
so
you ever heard somebody say, What do you
say? I got a question before we leave this show. I got to know this. Is it possible for us to get that back? Is it possible?
I mean, I like it.
Hey, Charles, I can't stop till I get mad, man. I can't go to sleep till I get mad. I'm sorry. I guess to have mad.
I do too.
I guess to have mad.
As a believer,
hey,
that can happen.
We got a caller, 1098. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. 1098 checking in. 4 acres in the mill. At this day, age, and time, they kicked the 4 acres in the mule because if they gave me some land, the acres, the land wouldn't be no good.
What?
James Brown, I don't want nobody giving me nothing. Open up the door, I get it myself. But
well, we ain't talking about
myself.
Hey, Carl, we ain't talking about nobody giving. We're talking about taking it now. You understand what I'm saying? We're talking about getting what's yours. I ain't ask you to give me
give me
what you own. Give me what I own. That's mine.
Okay. Still, what I own a chance to go to college, give me a degree, whether it be in other culture, whether it be in any other field. Today's time, this is 2017.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which the doors are open, so therefore, in Tennessee, I ain't going to get it myself.
Yeah, you can.
What land you going to put on? That's the question.
That's
Yeah, what land you going to do it on? Because the United States is built for a particular reason, but what land are you going to do that on? That's the question. So you need some 40 acres.
40 acres,
what
I mean, sir.
I take 1 acre right now.
10 a.m. shutting up.
Let me share something with y'all. Now, President Obama, before he left office, the government won a lawsuit against the farm industries, right? The tobacco industries and what have you. And do you know they set aside a couple of billion dollars for minorities to engage in agricultural growth and development and distribution? In other words, Alabama, Georgia, and Mississippi have programs where they will give you the land. You don't have to pay for it. They'll give you the land as long as you cultivate it and you produce on it and you pay your taxes, basically, on your product, on your produce. Exactly. Now, you tell me something wrong with that. Somebody explain to me what's wrong with that opportunity.
Oh, 1098, nothing.
Oh.
Nothing.
And at the end of the day, you own that, right? You're in control of that. But guess what we can't get our people to do? We can't get our people to get past the hurt from slavery. I ain't going back to no field. I ain't nobody about to go do no more. Listen, that's money that you can make for yourself. You ain't got to sell no dope. Ain't got to hustle nobody. You understand what I'm saying? You got all the energy because you're standing on the block all day long, running the block hot. So we know you got time.
Right. It's so much to do with land. You can build a space center on your land if you felt like it. You can build a tank on your land. It's so much to do with land now. I see why they attacked it first.
you don't
now
have.
Because now you got to ask permission on this land. Everything is private property.
Correct. And when we learn that principle, Charles, we can get a little bit further. There's some of us who own land, and we quick to sell it, quick to get rid of it, because we don't know what to do with it.
Don't know the power in it, yeah.
Go ahead, 1098, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say this. The thing is this, slavery. And Reverend Docker.
Yes, sir.
Back me up on what I'm finna say now. Back me up on what I'm finna say. Slavery, they don't understand the true definition of slavery. It was opera. It was a holocaust. The slavery holocaust, opera. And it was dirty. It was low down.
Right.
Here in I live in the state of Tennessee, right? And
yes,
they talk about Andrew Jackson, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
here in the state of Tennessee, you can go up to North Carolina in the Appalachians. They had the Indians. They said, well, if you would assimilate, we will leave y'all alone, right? So, okay,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, those Cherokees, they said, well, okay, we'll assimilate. So, therefore, they picked up some of their habits, even enslaving blacks into slavery.
Okay.
Other white people out there, they got angry. They said, well, no, we don't like this. The women looking good. They're making more money than we're making in Andrew Jackson in Congress. So this started a trail of tears. Once we understand
right.
what exactly went on in slavery, I say all the time, white people were not the only people that had blacks enslaved. You had black slave owners. You had Indian slave owners. Well, what happened to those Indians? You know, same black people on the Trail of Tears, they fought them. Now,
sure.
I don't want nobody giving me nothing. Open
okay.
up the door, I give it myself. You
I
know,
think we agree on that.
My ancestors, yes, sorry. Go ahead, sir, I'm sorry.
No, I think we agree on that in terms of. What'd you say? What'd you say, 1098?
Okay, but at the end of the day, once young black men understand this about slavery, it wasn't just about the white man. The white man wasn't the only one to have slaves. Cherokee Indians.
Okay.
You even had blacks that had black slaves.
Yes.
Let's get off that
okay.
mode and let's come to
well,
reality.
Okay, not to cut you off, but to keep that same mind frame, you're right. They weren't the only ones that had slaves, but they're the only one that did slavery in a totally different, cruel way.
There you go.
Slavery back then
That's
was
it.
About serving somebody, a king, that, you know, that gave you a home provided for you, for your labor.
Right.
Slavery, they put us in, they abused our women, raped our women, killed our young men, stole all that, all made us who we were. Try to even steal our God.
But I agree with that. But the Indians did it. Your own black brothers did it. You got black brothers up in North Carolina, South Carolina now. You know what they do? They still wear that Southern uniform. They fought for the South. And they still fly that flag. Here's reality, brother.
Okay.
Here's the dilemma. Let's come out of the dilemma. Let's educate ourselves. Reverend Dockery.
Yes, we got 6 minutes. Go ahead, right quickly, and then we're going to go ahead. Okay, so here's the thing. This is a great topic for another show in terms of the effects of both indentured servitude and chattel slavery. And
yes,
where we are in 2017, even with the mindset. I like the points that are being brought up, but we got about 5 minutes before the show is over tonight, and I did want to focus on a few other things before we get out of here. But that is a great – I'm going to work on that, gentlemen. I promise you we're going to bring that – we're going to have a conversation about that. But at the end of the day, what we should be looking for, we should be looking for how is it we change the mentality from slavery to 2017, because there's still some people walking around right now and they enslaved and don't know it.
Yes, sir.
They just don't know it. They might as well be back there in 1800, but they just don't know it. But, well,
right.
This is great conversation. We talk about reciprocity, giving back, keeping your community thriving and moving by contributing and not necessarily looking for anything in return. That's what we're talking about tonight. Pastor Waller.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Pastor Waller, you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Okay. Give us a final thought here before we get out of here, man.
All right. I tell you, man, it's, you know, I thank God for moving in the right direction. I thank him for the positive hope that about. And here's the thing I like to say about Captain. You know, I'm just grateful that I came to my senses and escaped the snare, the trap of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will, which means he enslaved my mind, my heart, my every thought. And there are so many people that need to know, and I think the way we're traveling now, where we're headed, it's going to enlighten people that they too can the snare, the trap of the devil. Because there is a trap. There has always been one. There always will be one. You have to be the one to be in the trap. We can be free from the trap. There is a way to escape. I just want to thank God for what you brought up. We can extend to us, which means to give back has been freely given to us. So I've enjoyed it, and I just thank God. Love you, and just to keep up the good work.
Praise God. Hey, Charles.
Yes, sir.
By way of announcement, I'll be in Columbus, Mississippi. One of my clients there got their nonprofit started. They're having a big fundraiser, so they invite me to come down and be with them this weekend. So I'll be there in Columbus. We won't air live. We'll post it on Facebook, and we'll probably have a pre-recorded show on the air on this coming Thursday at 7 o'clock. But when I get back to town, brother, you and me, we got work to do, man, because you dropped some stuff on me tonight that got my brain messed up.
All right. Sound like a plan.
Yeah, so, but I appreciate that. I'm going to come over there to your place of business, man, and we're going to work some things out, and let's see what, let's watch God. Let's see God work. Let's see God work. Yeah.
Amen.
Well, gentlemen, man, time, whew, we got 2 weeks. The time get away. Man, when you're having fun, I guess it's true, the time get away from you. 1098, right quick, give me 30 seconds, man, 30 seconds to live by.
Okay. 30 seconds, let's pick this conversation up, and may we travel the true meaning of slavery, who was involved,
going over
to London, the London Company. Sir.
Okay, okay.
May we. You think you'll find time? Huh?
Yeah, I can do that. I can do that. I can do that.
Okay. We're going to go back to the London Company. We're going to hit everything, and perhaps I hope a lot of people be listening because they'll learn something. Because Reverend Doctor is up. Thank you, sir.
All right. Well, gentlemen, our time is just about gone. Golly. But we appreciate you all. This is Talk Straight. Again, look for our pre-recorded episode to come this coming Thursday. But the following Tuesday, we'll be right back. We'll be right back at it again the following Tuesday, 7 o'clock p.m. This is Talk Straight, your host, Reverend Dockery. Tonight we've been talking about reciprocity. Be sure to go on our Facebook, answer our question thread, and share with your friends. Tell them to listen to the show and archive, and join us live in our next live episode. But we thank you at bfcinstitute.com is our webpage. Go there, learn about what we're doing, and support our cause. And with that, we're gonna leave with this. My mind playing tricks.
When it's going down, let's get this shit over with. Here they come, just like I picked. I got my hand on the motherfucking trigger. When I start, make your ass start giggling. Three blind, crippled, and crazy, in your feelings. I live by the squad. I take my boys everywhere I go because I'm paranoid. I keep looking over my shoulder, peeping around corners. My mind is playing tricks on me. I feel like I'm the one that's doing dope. Can't keep a steady hand because I'm nervous. Every Sunday morning I'm in service, praying for forgiveness and trying to find an exit out of business. I know the Lord is looking at me, but yet he still is hard for me to feel.